Well, it's indeed a pleasure to be here tonight. Always good to be in the Lord's house. Thankful for everyone that has made your choice to come out to our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we're going to, a little bit later on, we're going to share our burdens with one another and make our request and come up here to the altar, all that will, and spend some time in prayer together. And we've been trying to pray and get close to the Lord on behalf of our upcoming revival meeting. And we want to continue to do that tonight. But I want to ask you, if you would, at this time to bow your heads and let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day and for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift, God, that you send down from heaven. We thank you, Father, for this day. We know it's the day that you have made. We thank you, Father, that we have so much to rejoice in and so much to praise you for, God, because you're just so good to us, Lord. You just load us with your benefits, God, from day to day. We thank you, Father, for being able to be together tonight and perhaps learn a little bit more about your word and share our deepest desires and make our requests before one another, God. And thank you for the privilege to come together and pray with each other and for each other. And we're so thankful for the gift of prayer and so glad that you hear our prayers. And we know if we'll trust you that you'll grant us the things, God, that we ask of you. Be with us tonight. We pray that the lost will look to you, Father, and seek you and be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a scripture on my mind from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn and read with me. We'll begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with the first verse and read probably the first 9 verses tonight. There's a thought within these verses that I wanted to ask you to think about with me for a little while. Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas you engines, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And I wanted to take just a little bit of time tonight to speak about Paul's statement here to the church at Corinth about the fact that they were workers, that they were laborers. He told them, "Ye are laborers, we are laborers together with God." You know, perhaps a truth that we may lose sight of from time to time is that, you know, when we were saved and we united with the Lord's church and we were baptized and we became members of the Lord's church through those means. Something that we may forget is that we became part of a workforce. We became laborers for the Lord. We're, you know, the church is not something that's just a bunch of idle people. The church is a workforce. And we are in the world, I believe, and I know that you're persuaded of the same thing. We are here not only to work, but to do the greatest work that is done in the world. There's no work as important as the work of God. And it's more important than anybody's secular labor. It's more important than anything that we do, any way that we labor to take care of the things of our own or our property. The Lord's work is the most important work that goes on in the world. And God labors. God is a worker. God is not an idle God. Paul said here to the church at Corinth, he said, we are laborers together with God. And, you know, something that we can always be assured of and something that we can always take great confidence in is that God does his work. He does his part. He does what he does. He does it. He's active and he's working and he does it well. And God doesn't ever let down. And so we need to do our work. And, you know, I was thinking about this in thinking about our upcoming revival. You know, when we had the tent revival this past week, there were things that we had to do. There was a group of brethren that met here at the church, and we had work to be done. If we were going to hold that meeting, there was work that was going to have to be done. We were going to have to labor. And so we met here and we took the tent and we took the chairs and we took the pulpit and we hauled it all over there to the site, and we set up the tent and we set up the chairs, and we would go from night to night. We would get there a little bit early and we would open up the tent and we would get the piano set in place and get ready to hold the service. I mean, That wouldn't have happened if we would have not been willing to do that, to do the work. And so we had to, you know, we had to put in some effort and some labor in order to hold that revival meeting. Now, we don't have to do that starting Friday night, June 3rd. We're not going to have to do that. We're not going to have to set up a tent, and we're not going to have to set up chairs. We have a sanctuary here that's ready for us to come together and begin our revival effort that night. But I assure you that if we're going to see a success revival, there's going to be some work involved. There's going to be some labor involved in that if we're going to see that come to pass. And we need to, you know, we need to remember that we are doing the work of the Lord. The church was not left in the world to be a social institution. We all love to be together and we love to fellowship one another, but the church was not left in the world to just be a gathering of or a social event. Wasn't to just gather together and socialize. We were left here in the world to work, and our work, our labor is to get the gospel out, to to all the world. That was the work. That was the work that the church was commissioned to do, to take the gospel out to all the world, and that requires some effort. So revival looks like labor. Looks like labor. Another thing important about revival meetings is assembly. Assembly. We need to fill the pews, don't we? We need to attend. It wouldn't really do us much good to say we're going to have a revival meeting and not attend it. That wouldn't profit us really anything. And so attendance will be very important. And I hope that and pray that people will be encouraged to attend. And I hope that also as members of the Lord's church that will not only have a desire for that, but we'll also see that as a duty that we have. We need to realize, and certainly we ought to serve the Lord because we love Him. We ought to come to His house because we love Him, and we are thankful to Him for all that He has done for us. But as members of the church, we do have a duty. We have a duty to God. We have a duty to the church. And so I hope that we will understand that. I heard Brother Jeremy was teaching the winter Bible study, and I love the simplicity of his statement. He just said, it's not okay just to miss church because you want to. I agree with that. It's not okay. That's a bad choice. And so I had made mention of this a while back that, you know, I just pray that we will all make a commitment, because I believe there's commitment. There's a commitment to be made to a revival meeting. And we ought to all make a commitment, and we ought to say, you know what, if God is willing, if I'm able to do it at all, I'm going to be there for every service. I'm going to attend every service of the revival meeting. And you know what? It may not turn out that way for everybody, and we understand that. But there certainly ought to be a commitment. And we should never, now you all can say, well, that's just a pastor's point of view, but I'll tell you what, I believe that we should never, never miss church for just frivolous reasons. We shouldn't, because the Bible tells us that is something that we are not to forsake. Hebrews 10 and 25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so, you know what, if your church has a Sunday morning service, attend it. If they have a Sunday evening service, attend it. If they have a Wednesday evening service, attend it. That's what we ought to do as members of the Lord's church. So revival looks like assembly, doesn't it? A revival meeting is something that if we're going to see anything happen, we're going to have to attend. We're going to have to attend. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to be here and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? The workers in a revival meeting are not just the preachers and not just the song leaders. We are all laborers, and God has something for all of us to do. And so we need to all find our own place in that, out for us to do. A revival meeting takes some endurance, doesn't it? You know, by the time that we had come to the end of the tent revival, I was starting to feel a little bit tired. I had kind of run that week and had some things going on and missed some sleep, and I was starting to feel a little bit fatigued. But you know, I believe that God's grace is sufficient. I believe that he can help us, and I know that sometimes if you notice sometimes when you begin to get towards the latter part of a revival meeting, you'll begin to see signs of people getting a little bit tired, a little bit fatigued from coming night after night. But if we'll look to the Lord, he'll give us the strength to endure. He'll give us his grace, and he'll refresh us and help us to go on. So let's not let the devil use that to his advantage, and let's not let him use that against us. You know, let's not let the devil convince us, oh, we're just, you know, we're getting tired now, and use that against us. I believe that we all know that a good, successful, blessed revival meeting requires prayer. It requires prayer. I wonder if the church is willing to pray more. I wonder if you're willing to have extra prayer services in order to see revival. We try during our summer revival meeting, we try to meet here from day to day at 11 a.m. I realize that everybody can't make that, but we try to meet here from day to day and just pray. Just come together for a prayer service. And you know, there's one thing that I've always heard is that it is impossible to do it too much. It is impossible to pray too much. We read about Daniel, how that he prayed three times a day. If he would have prayed seven times a day, that would have been even better. It's just impossible to spend too much time in prayer. And so, you know, if we need to come together for extra time to pray, we should be willing to do that. You know, attitude has a lot to do with a revival meeting. Attitude. And we certainly should expect great things from a great God. You know, if you were to come to the end of a revival meeting, and you know, if it just hadn't gone very well, if you had just gone through a revival meeting and you just really hadn't felt the presence of the Lord, and you just didn't really seem to have good services, and you just didn't really seem to get close to the Lord, and you come to the end of that and you say, well, I didn't really expect we would anyway. You know, where was your attitude about it? And attitude, you know, God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of attitudes. And we need to have the right attitude towards this, and we need to, you know, we need to expect and anticipate that God will bless us. And he wants to bless us, and he wants to increase us, and he wants to bring us closer to Him. So there are things that we have to do in order to have a good revival meeting. There's some things that we need to get rid of. And Paul spoke about some of them here in these verses. Carnality, envying, strife, divisions. They have no church, do they? They just should not be among us. And we need to lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us, that we might run the race that has been set before us. And envy and strife and division and carnality are things that we need to get rid of. We need to come together. I believe there's unity that has to exist in revival. And so we need to be of one mind and one accord. Try to get somebody to come with you. Try to get somebody to come with you. Okay. You call their phone. Yeah, I want you to come to revival with me tonight. No, okay, well, I didn't think you would anyway. I mean, try to get somebody to come with you. Try to get somebody to come and hear the gospel. We got a lot of seating here. Be great to fill it up, wouldn't it? Be great to have people here that need to be exposed to the gospel. And so let's all make an effort to get somebody to come with us and to hear what the preachers have to say, and to hear God's people testify, and to be in the presence of the Lord, because that's where they need to be. And so let's pray for these things. Let's pray that God will help us to move towards what we need and to move away from what we don't need. Help us to get a hold of the things that we need and to let go of the things that we don't need that'll drag us down. There's a scripture that says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Do you believe, do you really believe that the revival meeting at Fairview Memorial that's scheduled for June of 2016 could be the best revival meeting the church has ever had? You believe that? Well, you don't sound like it. Come on, folks. Do you believe it? Yes. Amen. God could give us the best revival meeting we've ever had. He can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, or He can exceed anything that He has ever done in the past, because He knows no limits to His power. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. I think that before we begin our revival meeting, which is scheduled to begin here pretty soon, and if the Lord is willing, that time will come upon us quickly. But I think that before we begin our revival meeting, it might be good if we just did an exercise and reminded ourselves how to amen the Word of God. Amen. We've become awfully quiet. We really have. And you know, when the word of God is preached and when the truth is put out there, let people know that you endorse it. Let people know that you believe the truth. That's what that word is for. And that's biblical. That's spoken of in the scriptures. Let all the people say amen. And we need to do that. I believe that's important to our services. I believe it convinces the lost person. It helps convince the lost person sitting next to you that it's not just the preacher saying that. These people believe it. What?
Amen.
They believe it. They believe that he's telling the truth. So be it. Amen. So be it. I love y'all. Looking forward to being in another revival meeting with you. I sure am. Looking forward to working with Brother Buddy and with all of you. Let's be workers. Let's be workers. Let's be laborers. Because it's going to require it. It's going to require it. If we see leaders, if we see our teacher, our preachers getting tired, pray for them. We see each other get tired. Let's pray for each other. God will help us.
Amen.
Give us strength. I want to see people saved. I want to see people unite with the church. I want to see them overflow in the baptistry. Looking forward to Sunday. Looking forward to Malia being baptized into the Lord's church. I pray that before Sunday we'll have some more. I know God can do that. God can do anything, folks. He can do anything but fail us. He can give us a wonderful revival of growth. We need to get closer to him. I was in a revival service over at Unity a couple weeks back, and their pastor, Brother Chris Klein, preached a powerful message to God's people. And I said, you know, I believe that the Bible gives us a standard that we can follow. I believe it was given to us, an example was given to us by a man named Enoch in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. And you know what the Bible says about him? That he walked with God. How close did Enoch walk with God? He walked so close to God that God just took him. He just translated him. And I said that, you know, none of us have had that happen yet. We've not been translated, have we? So evidently we can get closer to God. And we need to. We need to. We need to get closer to God. And that's a great aspect of revival. We need to stop looking at it as just being an evangelistic meeting. We need to get closer to God. We need to get revived. Church. And we've got things that, you know, we've got cobwebs that we need to get rid of. Need to be woke up. We need to be revived. Everybody come up here to the altar if you would, and we'll just make our request up here tonight and have prayer. Pray that God will help us to shake the dust off and keep on laboring.